got a word. I hope it blesses you. The reason why I think I was led to this word is because there's such a misunderstanding about grace. Grace is not, you get to live any way you want to live. Although, God takes no more accountings of sins. Sins and iniquities he remembers no more. So if you're not walking in the fullness of the life and the victory that Christ has given you, okay, there's no condemnation. That's grace. But at the same time, grace does not mean we get to live any way we want. I don't know if that makes sense. And so, I was reading in scriptures the other day, and I hope this all makes sense, because I can preach. If you want me to preach, I can preach. I can preach an introduction, a transitional statement, three main points, you know, with a couple of subpoints, and then a closing statement, you know, boom, and then bring it in. But I'm more of a teacher. So I'm more of a teacher-preacher. So I'm going to be doing more teaching. And I encourage you, it's going to be on podcast. It's going to be online. You know, go back and listen, because I'm still trying to get a hold of what I'm going to be sharing. And I know I'll be listening to it for a few times. So I was reading from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, because I'm doing a weekly study in the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights. And verse 10 caught my eye. And this is Paul saying, "For do I now persuade men, or do I now persuade God? For do I now seek to please men, or do I now seek to please God? For if I yet seek to please men, then I am not the servant of Jesus Christ." In the Amplified Version, it says this. I'm reading this just for a guy in a church named Dan, because he has the Amplified Version classic. So. And it says this. "Now, am I trying to win the favor of man, or do I live in the favor of God? Do I seek to please man?" Listen, if I were still seeking popularity with men, I would not be found to be the bondservant of Christ the Messiah. Interesting portion of scripture that led me to what I'm going to be sharing with you in other scriptures. First, I want to look at that word persuade. "For do I now persuade men?" That word persuade means to win one's favor or to gain one's goodwill or to strive to please. And so Paul is saying, am I trying to win the favor of man? Right? Am I trying to find or attain goodwill of men? Or am I striving to please God? I mean man, you know? Or God? The word please means, am I seeking to just become agreeable? Am I trying to accommodate myself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others? To be accepted by others? These are what the words mean that he's using here. And then he says, if that was the case, then I am not a servant of Christ the Messiah. Now that word servant there is pretty important. It's slave. It's bond, a bond slave. And it means willingness to do what the other person wants, or the act of considering your own wishes as less important than those of the other person. So this is what Paul is saying, I strive to do before Christ. I strive to become his servant, his doulos, and not to be moved by men, what they think about me, or how they feel towards me, trying to gain their approval, trying to win their favor, trying to win their goodwill. I am not a man pleaser. I'm a God pleaser. And so from there, I'm like, servant. Servant. Where does Paul talk about that some more? And he led me to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And I hope this all makes sense, okay? It says in verse 19 of chapter 5, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of the one, many be made righteous." Okay? From there, I moved to the next chapter, Romans chapter 6. Pay attention. Many were made. Many shall be made. That used to bother me, where it said, shall many be made. The first part says, many were made. But the second part says, shall many be made.
Yeah.
Okay? And in Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 18, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." So now listen to what Paul says. So what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to believers. Okay? And he's using the word servants there. Now, there's a very important aspect of the word servant in the Greek. One aspect of the word servant is this. It's involuntary. You became an involuntary servant of sin. That's why I told you to pay attention to that verse where it says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." In other words, it was involuntary. Nobody signed up for it. It was involuntary. They had no choice. They had no escaping the situation. It was not up to them to, or did they have the power to change the situation? They were involuntary slaves to sin. So now remember what he said there. "But by the obedience of one shall many be made." That always bothered me because I always said, if it doesn't say I am, I can, or I have, I'd have to check the translation. So this doesn't say the many are made righteous, okay, in this particular verse. It says shall be made. So now, how can that be? First of all, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are instantly made righteous. You are instantly made righteous before God. But there's a difference between instantly being made righteous then voluntarily becoming a slave and a servant of that righteousness. That takes place with a believing. We are righteous. We are sanctified. We are holy. We are complete. We are just like Jesus Christ. Voluntarily embracing that fact. Voluntarily embracing that. And what happens when we do, it causes us to be a doulos, a servant, a bond slave of righteousness. Where the believing of your righteousness causes righteousness to rule and reign in your life. Now, many of God's children have not embraced their true righteousness. They have not submitted to their true righteousness. They haven't yielded to their true righteousness. I didn't say they weren't truly righteous, but they haven't embraced their true righteousness. They haven't voluntarily became or took their position as the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And so this is why Paul is saying, God be thanked that you were once involuntary servants of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you was delivered to you, being then made freed from the involuntary power of sin, where you were an involuntary servant. Now you have become voluntary servants, doulos of righteousness. That is a decision we have to make. That is a choice we have to make. Many of God's believers have not become doulos to righteousness. They have not allowed their righteousness to rule and reign. So that's why when it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, right? It says, if that's the case, then you will rule and reign in life. But if you haven't voluntarily stepped into your, as a doulos, as a servant to your righteousness, you will never walk in the fruits of righteousness. Is that making sense, Nicole?
Yeah.
Good, because I wasn't sure. That's why I wrote this book. The two greatest forces in the life of a believer. The love God has for you. And righteousness. You are righteous with the righteousness of God, your inner man. But in order to walk out in life the fruits of that righteousness, you need to voluntarily yield yourself and to become a servant of that righteousness. And that righteousness will just produce amazing amounts of fruit in your life. Healing, provision, protection, wisdom, guidance, redemption. So from there, I started looking at things. Transformation that takes place in the soul. It's interesting. I was led to Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve you. And in the seventh year, we know seventh means completion, right? The number seven means completion. So at the completed time, the seventh year, born again, born anew, you know, the time of conversion, he shall go out free for nothing. That's what happened at born again. We become free. We become free. Then if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, nope, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall become his servant forever. Now that's a picture and a type of becoming born again. When we become born again, we are freed. We are freed from the involuntary power that sin has over us. But in order to become freed to the voluntary power of righteousness, we have to yield ourselves and become servants of that righteousness. This is what that type and shadow is signifying there. This is meaning, I know I'm righteous. Well, that's the thing. Most of God's children, most of the church don't know they're righteous. But those that become aware of their righteousness, of the fact that they're righteous, they embrace it. They're the ones that say, okay, give me that earring that signifies I'm a love slave, because I'm going to live in and I'm going to walk in and I'm going to adhere to my righteousness. My righteousness. And why is that powerful? Why does Paul want us to voluntarily yield to, submit to, and take on our righteousness? Is this making sense? Voluntary, involuntary?
Yeah.
Making sense, John? This is why. Because this is what righteousness means. This is why you have to embrace it. This is why you have to, doulos, become a servant voluntarily. Voluntarily embrace it. This is why people don't have power in their lives. This is why people are not walking in authority. This is why people are not walking in the fruits. This is why people are not walking in the blessings that God has already bestowed. This is what righteousness means. The word righteousness in this portion of scripture that Paul is using, it's forgive my Greek, dikaiosune, okay? It means justification. It means the state of the person who is at as he ought to be. Now, when you embrace your righteousness, your state before God is exactly as it ought to be. That's great. That's amazing. This is the words that Paul used, okay? Righteousness. The condition that is wholly acceptable to God. Wow. It's the doctrine concerning the way in which man attains state of approval before God. The state of approval before God. It's the position that God has established you for. It's the position of integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteousness, correctness of thinking, feeling, acting, and being fully qualified. This is why Paul wants you to voluntarily become a servant and a slave to righteousness. I'm becoming a slave to the fact of my integrity. I'm becoming a slave of the fact of I'm virtuous. I'm becoming a slave of to the fact of I am pure in life before God. I am becoming a slave to the fact of the correctness of my thinking, of my feeling, and of my acting. I am becoming a slave of understanding and knowing I am standing before God in a position as I ought to be. I am becoming a slave voluntarily to an understanding and adhering to the fact that I'm living in a condition that is acceptable before God. Oh, man. I'm becoming a slave voluntarily to the position and the fact where I know I am fully qualified before God for everything He's provided. This is why Paul is saying, make yourself a servant of righteousness. This is not Paul saying, make yourself a servant of righteousness where now it's up to you to do and to be and to become. No, it's becoming a slave to the fact of who you are and embracing it. Many of God's children do not embrace it. They still believe there's something I need to do. There's something I have to do. There's something I must do. There's a work that's needed. There's an obligation that's been put before me. I need to. I must. No. Become a slave to true righteousness. Become that doulos. Become that servant of everything I just shared with you. And when you embrace that, I'm telling you, things that people are trying to create are just going to explode from within them as a fruit. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. For when you were the servants, involuntary doulos of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were a involuntary servant of sin, you cannot attain to righteousness. But once you were freed, you are now free to voluntarily embrace your righteousness. You see, it's volunteer. It's voluntarily. It's voluntarily. Nobody can ever move me or shake me from the fact of my righteousness. Nobody can ever tell me what I need to do or what I have to do to qualify for any of God's blessings. In fact, part of righteousness, I'm embracing the fact, I'm a slave to the fact, I'm already qualified. You know what? A slave has to obey his master. Mm-hmm. My master's righteousness. And my master's telling me, qualified. Mm-hmm. Qualified. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, for it is the Father, the Master, who has qualified us to qualify for the greatness of our inheritance. Involuntary slave to sin or voluntary slave to righteousness. I choose to become a voluntary slave to my righteousness. Choice is always ours. Back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For now do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be a servant, a doulos of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We always have to remember this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this earth suit, in this earth walk, in this fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we living in Christ? Are we moving in Christ? Are we having our being in Christ? To be, do you know what the word Christ means? John?
It's not his name.
Okay.
It's a title.
What does Christ mean?
The anointed one.
The anointed one. Or the anointing. Okay. I am crucified with the anointed one and the anointing. Yet I live not, but the anointed one and the anointing lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh suit, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I'll listen to a lot of preachers and say that that's wrong. They'll say that's wrong. Where Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. They'll say, I live by the faith in the Son of God. It's of the Son of God. And what was the faith of the Son of God? All you have to do is go to Isaiah chapter 53. When you find at the end of Isaiah chapter 53, where it says, through my righteous sacrifice, through my perfect sacrifice, my holy sacrifice, through his work, his effort, his toiling, through that sacrifice, he will justify and make righteous the many. So this is the faith that the Apostle Paul is living by. The faith of Jesus Christ, that as he goes to the cross And he becomes crushed and bruised and bloodied and battered. And he bears weakness and sickness and disease. He who knew no sin becomes sin. The Father would look at his work, his effort, his toiling, and say, yes, I accept it. And through faith in him, we become just. We become righteous. And this is what Paul is living in. I am living in, I have made myself a slave and a servant of the righteousness of God. And this doesn't again mean you need to, you have to, you must. It means I embrace my holiness. I embrace the fact that I'm fully approved before God. I embrace the fact that I'm at right peace. I'm at right peace and right standing with God. I embrace the fact that I'm fully qualified before God. That's what he's talking about. Because you remember, I love the word of God, man. In Romans chapter 10, he's talking about the Jewish people. He said they all have a zeal for righteousness, right? They're trying to become righteous. They have a zeal for righteousness, but it's not through correct knowledge. It's not the righteousness of God. It's not right. They're trying to adhere to and maintain and hold on to and develop their own righteousness, but they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And then it goes on to say, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 11. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That newness of life is righteousness, guys. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That's like saying, know this, that when he was crucified, you were crucified. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be slaves or servants or involuntary servants of sin. We should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from being an involuntary servant of sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once and for all. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed from being involuntary servants of sin, but being alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a powerful portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was a youth pastor back in 1981, I went to a youth convention, teaching and training, and the speaker put up on the board a picture of the devil, funny picture of the devil. I know it was the devil because he was red and he had horns and he had a pitchfork and he had a long tail with a point on the end of it. But the funny thing was, he was standing on top of a burial site. Okay? And he had the pitchfork in one hand and the other hand he was scratching his head. And you know how that thought, the thoughts, the bubbles come from? Yeah. Okay. The bubble came from him and it was filled. And it filled and it said, now how do I tempt a dead man? He can't. Can't tempt a dead man. You can't tempt a man who knows he no longer involuntarily serves sin or is a slave to sin. He's dead. And now, he is now yielded and a servant and a slave of righteousness. And you can't tempt that person who's living in the fact of his true righteousness. As our soul becomes renewed to the voluntary position of righteousness, we no longer find ourselves as being slaves to sin. That's why Paul says, sin has no more dominion over us. For we are not under the law, we are under grace. No longer, number one, find ourselves enslaved to any way to sin. Number two, when we embrace our true holiness and our true righteousness, servants of true righteousness and holiness, doulos, voluntarily, we will no longer find ourselves trying to gain or win over man's approval. There's been so much guilt, shame, and condemnation that comes upon people in the body of Christ because they're trying to do things to please someone else. And then lastly, number three, as our soul becomes renewed to our voluntary position of righteousness, we no longer live accommodating ourselves to the opinions and desires of others. He who the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen? All right. Father, we worship you and we praise you, and we are so grateful. And we voluntarily embrace the true holiness and true righteousness you have bestowed upon us through believing in faith in Jesus Christ. We move in the assurance of being approved of by you. Nothing we can do to gain any more of approval than we already have. We move in the assurance of knowing that we are at right standing before you because of Jesus Christ and Jesus only. And that's the gospel. We move in our true righteousness that we know we're at fully and full peace with you. And we move in our knowing and understanding and embracing of the fact that we are already fully qualified because of what Jesus has done. Jesus, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In your name we pray.